A look inside the bowl at Everbank Field. The Jags will be back here this coming Sunday to face the Houston Texans, but first they must sort out what happened yesterday in Tampa. Welcome to Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank. JP Shadrick, Brian Sexton, John Osier. The Jags lost 38-31 to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers yesterday. And, you know, the postgame comments of Gus Bradley, there's quotes like painful and need to look in the mirror in the locker room and something just isn't right. It's the most emotional we've seen the Jags head coach.
Well, and you said some sorting out to do at the top. And I think that's really what this week's about, especially early. You stop sorting by Wednesday and you move on. But, yes, Gus Bradley is animated, is pointed. You know, I think it's safe to say he was angry, although he's not going to show that side during a press conference situation. But it's clear something's got to change in terms of the mistakes, in terms of the missed opportunities. The last 2 weeks have been close, and it's evident that there are things there that are on the field that can win. But in the NFL, it's about taking advantage of a few opportunities in each game. And not doing that is why they're 1-4 and why we're talking about this again.
You know, because the game was played in Tampa yesterday, I'm going to channel my inner John McKay. You may be the only one old enough to recall this. But in that long losing streak that spanned the 76 and 77 seasons for the expansion Bucks, John McKay, after a particularly painful loss, came in and said, hey, you know, well, look, we didn't tackle well today, but we made up for it by not blocking.
I thought you were going to say... when he was asked about the execution.
Oh, I'm all for it. No, because I'm
not there yet.
I'm going to be the positive guy here because I saw a lot that I liked. But here's the deal. Yesterday, the Jaguars neither blocked, 6 sacks, 3 critical sacks on third down and long where Bortles didn't have a chance, and they didn't tackle. 19 missed tackles yesterday, and the absence of Paul Posluszny was never stronger because not only did Thurston Armbrister fail to make key tackles in the middle of the field, but he didn't have the savvy, the veteran experience to be able to make the checks and the calls, and Charles Sims beat him with 85 yards receiving out in the flat. In particular, that one 59-yarder that got all the way down to the 29-yard line. So, you know,
that was
Jaguars,
a huge play, down.
Third and 15.
And up 24-20 at the time.
And Avery Jones on second down saved their bacon because they saw that play in the flat, and Jones broke it up. Mm-hmm. The very next play, they went right back to it, and this time there was no one out there to make it happen. So, you know, you want to look at this. You can talk about turnovers all you want. The Jaguars didn't block, and they didn't tackle, and you don't win in the NFL when you don't do those.
And what's funny and maddening about that is we're talking about this, and we're talking about how poorly the defense played. And it's really the first time since New England. There's New England in this one where they didn't play. At the same time, you gave up a touchdown on a fumble recovery.
Yep.
You gave up a 17-yard drive, a 41-yard drive. And it just goes to show you that in the NFL, you can have a really bad side of the ball. And if you make the plays you're supposed to make and play fundamentally sound and do the right thing, you should still win. Because they still should have won that game. As poorly as the defense played at times, you still gave them too much. And that's what... over the course of this season, that's still what's killing her.
You know, I'm just going to come right out and say it. Look, when I see a quarterback play as well as he did yesterday, and I get the turnover, right? Hey, when you throw into Mercedes Lewis, throw the ball high, right? He's 6'7". The ball high. But other than that, the 4 touchdowns last week, the word was finish. Finish. And he said, we just have to finish. How about 80% in the red zone? 4 touchdowns in 5 trips inside the red zone. The reason that I have real hope for where this thing is going, you'd rather be the team that says, we got the quarterback.
Right.
Then the team that says, well, we got everything else. Where's the quarterback coming from?
And if I guess we'll stay on Rosie Potter for a while, and that's good.
I don't think you have to. I think when you have a quarterback, you feel good about it.
But as much as what you just said is true, another factor is I don't think you watched Blake Bortles yesterday and thought, yeah, that's as well as he can play.
Oh, no.
He doesn't look smooth yet, meaning he's not yet that guy who we've all seen with an Aaron Rodgers or an elite guy who just looks in control, where it's just a machine out there. And he missed probably 2 relatively easy touchdowns, one to A-Rob on the interception to Mercedes, and there was another one where Julius Thomas is open. So we're saying that there's a lot that can be improved. At the same time, even with the – is it clunkiness or just misses?
Yeah.
It still looks a lot better. So that's a good sign.
It's like a teenager, right?
Yep.
I mean, you just keep waiting for it all of a sudden to hit its stride. I'll say this. The touchdown that put him up 24-20 in the third quarter when he was rolling to his left and all the Bucks were rolling with him, and he threw it right back to Yeldon. You know, pretty much against the grain.
That's where he's at a high level already.
Oh man,
when it's about improvising and figuring it out and seeing it, he is getting to a high level at that point already.
JP, I get it. Losing stinks. People don't want to hear what went right, but if you've got a quarterback that you have really strong feelings for and you can see him progressing, take a deep breath. The Texans have one of the best defenses in the NFL in terms of personnel. They're going anywhere because they don't have a quarterback.
That's right. We're going up to 1 o'clock today. Gus Bradley's press conference the day after. We'll carry that live right here on Jaguars.com. A little more about this Buccaneers run game. 183 yards on the ground, 174 of those from the two running backs. It had to be more than just Posluszny missing, right?
Well, I talked to Dan Scooter right after the game, and, you know, obviously it should be more than just one guy. And Scuda said, run fits, seeing things that should give you hints, meaning still guys out there who, and he didn't mention Armbrister, but I'm sure that's a part of it, who aren't seeing the signs that you should see to be able to stop the run. And also said they needed to start dominating, meaning the front seven, there are guys who should just plain dominate their guy more. And that's just about, hey, we're good enough to be taking this thing over, and we didn't today. And I think there's a feeling among veterans of that's got to start happening.
And there were a couple of offensive linemen out for the Bucs yesterday. I had a couple of backup guys in the middle, too.
Yeah, you know, Armbrister didn't miss 19 tackles all by himself. Part of it is that you expect Posluszny to come clean up some of those plays where Doug Martin was able to, with a guy wrapped around one leg, get free. Posluszny's generally there where Armbrister is a player or two away. I'll say this, and the disgust on Roy Miller's face in the postgame locker room said it all. You know, they didn't win the battle one-on-one up front. They got pushed off the ball yesterday. Mm-hmm. And up to yesterday, the Jaguars were only giving up 83 yards per game on the ground. Fifth best in the NFL. 83. Yesterday it was 183 yards. Before that, the best day that anybody had had before Doug Martin yesterday was LeGarrette Blount, who had 78. I mean, they just absolutely shut down Frank Gore, didn't give him anywhere to run. So getting pushed off the ball is one thing, but when you don't have a Posluszny there to clean the stuff up, that's a double-edged sword.
And what you really have to hope, and in the first four games, they had looked, even beyond the stats, Brian, there were times where you watched them and went, all right, they can stop the run. They got that taken care of. Well, now they really need to hope that yesterday was a one-game aberration, because they don't look like a team that's going to be able to get pressure with four. So pass rush and figuring that part out is going to be a concern all season. Well, you darn sure don't want to have both of those things be an issue. You've got to have one thing on defense you can count on. And if you can count on the run defense, then it makes that pass rushing liability a little less damaging, because then you're free to create. You're free to take chances. But if you can't stop the run and can't rush the passer, well, guess what, Brian?
Oh, yeah, that's really trouble. I'll say this. You and I had this conversation a week or two ago about that 06 game here where Tony Dungy brought the Colts in and they got run over for 375 yards. And I remember going to the locker room to listen to him and hearing him say, we'll fix it. I think there's guys here that you can fix the run defense. We had seen them play well. Posluszny's obviously a big key to that. When you get Sinderic back in there, he's obviously very stout against the run. I think they'll fix the run. The pass rush doesn't look like it's coming this year.
Right.
I mean, you can trick it up and junk it up any way you want. And one game here or there, you might get five or six sacks. But the reality of it is that the pressure's going to be on the guys in the back seven to stop the pass, because the pressure's just not going to be there consistently this year.
And Devon House played pretty well yesterday, I thought. I mean, there are always little flashes. I thought he played well.
Yeah, he did.
I think he shadowed Mike Evans the whole way. Yeah. You know, and
they went to him, Evans, for the two-point conversion the minute that the house was out with the conclusion.
Right. But that's one.
No, I'm just saying. It was one area
Devon House, overall defense, had to play better.
Offensively, hey, we'll go to Gus Bradley at 1 o'clock. That's coming up here on Jaguars.com Live, presented by EverBank, the day after press conference, after the Jags fall in Tampa Bay. Offensively, let's go back to the turnovers in this game, because they certainly were key. The interception in the first half led to a touchdown. The fumble in the second half turned the tide of the game. The Cory Grant fumble returned for a touchdown. 15 points right there off those straight turnovers. The fumble situation for Grant. Did you get a chance to see it after the fact? And what was the situation with Grant?
I just tell you, I was in the far end zone looking back, you know, 70 yards, 75 yards to see that. And it was clear that the ball was in his hands from all the way away. I don't know if anyone's taken, you know, blame for it or not. But from where I sat, it never got in his hands.
Yeah, I didn't get a real feel for, was it a high pitch? Was it an errant pitch? But it was a play that obviously turned the game. And they didn't respond after that, which has been a problem.
Let's go down the hall. Right. Gus Bradley Jaguars speaking Monday, to the media on Monday.
We'll start with quarterback Blake Bortles. Blake had a grade 1 AC joint sprain in his right shoulder that occurred early in yesterday's game. Blake obviously played through it and was able to finish the game. He's experiencing some soreness today, but we will continue to update you guys throughout the week. Next up, cornerback Devon House. Devon suffered a hip contusion in yesterday's game. He was not able to return. His status will be updated. With running back Bernard Pierce, Bernard reported a hamstring injury at halftime of yesterday's game and did not return. Pierce also reported having concussion-like symptoms and was evaluated by the team's medical staff. He is now being managed per the NFL's concussion protocol and will be continued to updated for the hamstring injury as well. With TJ Yeldon, TJ had a groin strain that he suffered in the fourth quarter yesterday. More information will be available later this week. With Puz, Puz attempted to warm up with the ankle sprain yesterday, but was not able to play. His status will also be updated later in the week. Marquise Lee continues to rehab with his hamstring injury. We'll update you if there's any changes on that. With Sendarek, he'll continue to see an increased practice workload, as he did last week, and as he comes back from the knee injury. With Denard Robinson and James Sample, Denard with the knee and James with the shoulder, they both continue to improve and will be updated later in the week. And for Julius Thomas, he did well medically yesterday in the game, and there's no issues with the hand moving forward. So.
When we number the grades, is one worse than three?
No, lower.
Okay, so one is lower.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, I don't know what to say. Still painful watching that tape. Got a lot of things to go over. I think there's some issues that we need to get corrected, obviously. Different issues than maybe would have shown up, and maybe a different way of handling it with our team in the team meeting. But I think I'll just open it up for questions now. I know you have a lot of questions, so we'll go from there.
Will you make any two-part question? Will you make any changes to coaching staff or their duties on the staff?
No.
Second part, do you have any lineup changes that you think to give other guys more
support? You know what? All that stuff, the lineup changes, coaching, all that, we haven't had a chance to meet as a staff really in detail. So, we watched the tape and we went over more personnel and what took place in the field. So, we'll go through the week. I think that, I think I've always been involved with offense and being involved in defense and have a better understanding of those and the special teams. I think you'll see me in all three of them.
So Bob will call the snaps this week on defense. Yesterday you alluded to lack of preparation, came up short. Looking at it a day later, did your coaching staff have the players prepared?
Well, it sure felt like it, but we didn't react that way. You know, on the tape, you know, I speak defensively. There were some things. I'll give you the tone of the team meeting. The team meeting, and really what I felt across all of them, offense, defense, and special teams was this, is that we each took turns, and I'm talking about coaches included, each took turns of making mistakes. So you have player A made a mistake, player B made a different mistake, player C made a mistake, maybe a coaching mistake here, and then another one. So we end up with 25, 30 mistakes or whatever the count is. And you look at it, you go, how can we get this fixed? How can we get all these mistakes fixed? And I think now with the guys, the way they are, the coaching staff, and how we want to get this fixed, sometimes I think the biggest message to our team is personal responsibility. Because if we're sitting there going, I'll get this guy right, and I'll get this guy right, and the player says, well, we'll get this thing right, they're not taking personal responsibility, we're not going to get these things corrected fast. So they each need to take personal responsibility and get their one mistake or two mistakes corrected so we can see this get taken care of. That's the issue that we're dealing with right now. We had five explosive plays, five explosive runs for 102 yards on defense, and those are real. Five different guys missed tackles. So one guy can say, well, I had one missed tackle, but the other stuff I did pretty good. You know what? We just got to do this. We got to be better at our punt coverage. We got to be better at this. No. You make the tackle. Take personal responsibility for making that tackle. We'll get the other things corrected. But that's more of a directive, more accountability type message to our team. Take personal responsibility. Take accountability for it. And let's get these things cleaned up. So I think that's more defensively when you look at it in a nutshell. It appeared to be even bigger defensively.
Was this the worst tackling game since you've been here?
Yeah, we had 23 missed tackles. 23 missed tackles. I think someone told me you said 18. I'll add five more to it. There's 23. Yeah.
How do you, if a guy, a couple guys missed three tackles, did you feel like over pursue, wrong spot?
I'll tell you that too. We had problems tackling in space. I think that's what became evident this week. We have not had many opportunities. I think if we're in the run, we had it in a pretty confined area in games past where our ability to swarm tackle, and if it did miss, it was a confined area, we did well. They did a good job. They got us in space. We became exposed in some of our tackling in space. That's where it showed up.
How much of a factor was not having Posluszny there, not so much from a production standpoint, but from getting people aligned right, because you alluded to it unsolicited in your press conference yesterday?
Boy, it's a careful thing, right, because the guy's got to be able to step up. But I won't diminish the fact that he's pretty important. Getting us lined up, the presence he has, Talvin playing next to him, know how he's going to play plays. You know, it's one thing to take care of your gap responsibility, but it's another thing to play your gap responsibility, get off a block, and pursue it and make a play. That's where Puz was really playing well, and we missed that yesterday.
Do you feel like it's just too much on you to take over calling the defense?
Well, I think when I look at it and I see a guy right off the edge and he's unblocked and misses a tackle, I don't know what would change. You know, I think the emphasis, I think I can be stronger on the practice field. I do that. I think the players need to feel me that when a situation like that occurs, to hear my voice. You know, offensively, defense, special teams. That's where I take personal responsibility. I don't think I've been as animated on the field when it comes to those issues. So that part, I think you'll see that part change.
You said on the 56-yard screen on 3rd and 15 yesterday that you brought pressure and maybe that was a call. Were you comfortable with the call when you had a chance to look at it?
I'll tell you why. They switched personnel groupings with us, and we had a different personnel grouping. We were going to call a certain call. They switched. We kept the personnel grouping out there and ran the pressure. We didn't want them to dictate. Looking back at it, we have a call for that situation. We didn't go with it. We kept the blitz on, and a big play occurred. I think that's where I think you'll hear Bob or the coaching staff, the defensive coaches, take responsibility for that. With that being said, a screen should not go for the distance it went. You know, you should not say, you know what, uh-oh, they can run a screen here. Let's not apply pressure. Because backed up, that's what teams do. We had an all-out blitz that we sacked, had a great sack on, backed up in that same area, and it was a big play for us. So, you know, you don't want to be scared out of it. Guys got to make plays. But could there have been a better call in that situation? Yeah, but we wanted to be aggressive, and it didn't work out.
Is it frustrating in the last three games you guys haven't been able to put together a team victory? I mean, or like a team win? Because you've had the offense play well, then the defense plays poorly. The defense plays well, the offense plays poorly.
Yeah, that's frustrating. I'll tell you what else is this, is that we go and attack certain areas, right? Like red zone. All right, we are poor in the red zone offensively. Our field goal kicking, we missed two field goals. We got to get that corrected. Penalties, far too many penalties. Let's address these issues. We address them. We had three penalties. We did good in field goal, and we did very well in the red zone. And now another set of issues come up. And I was saying, okay, now we got to attack these areas. It'd be nice to have it to where we get these things corrected and we don't see other issues come up. There's always going to be some, but the number of them, I think, is what can be tough.
Yes, isn't that a definition of a bad team? 1 week you have these issues, the next week you have these issues.
Well, I think that, we go out and I'll explain it like this too. What's frustrating at times is this, or at all times, is that when you go out in the field and you practice and you see mistakes happen and you correct the mistake and the mistake is corrected on the field, and then you go into the game and the exact situation comes up and then they repeat the error that happened in practice that was corrected. That to me is, as a coaching staff, I always am a hardest on us first and say, hey, did you explain it? Did you show them? Did you teach them? Did you show it on film? Did you give them a handout? Did you put them in a walkthrough situation? Did you put them in a practice rep situation? Did you explain it to them? If you say yes to all that, okay, now it falls on the player. You know, it's almost like that degree when I talk to the coaches. When I talk to the players, it's different. You know, hey, you have responsibility. You got to do it the first time. But that's how I want the coaches to feel. And multiple times, these situations, in a legal formation, it happened in practice. It happened in practice. Hey, you're too close. You're crawling the line of scrimmage. Get back. Get to his hip. Okay, let's run it again. Good. That's what we need to do. Then we get on the practice or on the game field, and it shows up again. I don't know what else we can do with some of these areas, but we have to find a way to get it through to them. And that's what I'm talking about. You know what? It's personal responsibility. You know, you're in the NFL. You're playing in the NFL. Take care of your business and focus. If you do three good things and you didn't do it that time, you're losing focus. That's, I think, is an issue with some of the guys. Now, there's a lot of guys doing well, but that part is too much, and it's keeping us from where we want to go.
Isn't the only thing you can do then if that mistake keeps happening is make changes?
Yes, you're right. If those things, you trust people until they prove you unreliable. And if they're unreliable, you've got to make changes. I agree 100%. At some positions, we just got to take a look at and, we got to weigh this out. The NFL is what tolerate till you can replace. That's for all of us. That's for all of us. And I think that's the environment we know that we're in, and the players know that we're in that environment, and the coaches. So that's just a fact of life. So the players need to sense that. But we need to have replace, someone that we can replace them with.
Last year you cut two starters with offensive tackle and a safety early in the season for repeated mistakes. Has it not come to that? With guys here?
Well, I don't know. I haven't had this discussion with Dave. I don't know if it's to that point. I mean, you're saying, what point does it need to get to? I think we look at, there's errors that are on the backside of a run play. A guy misses his block. Maybe you don't see it as glaring because it's not the point of attack. This week we had some point of attack issues. The fumble. We had. There's a point of attack issue with that there was a mistake. And those things become glaring. Now, that's not his personality to make a glaring mistake like that. He made an error, and both of them, it ended up costing us. But it's not repeated over and over again. That's what I'm saying. If there's one guy that had four or five of them, and this constantly happened, but they're taking turns, like the five missed tackles for explosive runs, it was someone different each time. Well, I think we understand that we're going to be in close games, and we've seen that. Excuse me, close during the game, and into the fourth quarter. So we've got to have the ability to stay focused throughout the whole game. To, you know, then it becomes just a few plays. We're not a team that is going out there winning 31-7. We're not a team that's going out there and winning, first of all. Now, on top of it, we're not a team that's winning with that margin, where those margins of errors can be corrected either offensively or defensively or special teams. So when it comes to that and you're playing close games, boy, there's little margin for error. And all these things are heightened. All these things show up. Just down block on a crack toss, you know. And you're emphasizing these things so much because of the little margin for error.
You talked earlier about, you talked to the coaches, did you explain the mistake and all those? Are you convinced that all the coaches are explaining the mistakes correctly and getting it?
Yeah, because I'm sitting in their meetings and I'm hearing this, you know, so I'm hearing these things be talked about. I'm seeing them, putting the tape together and watching it with them in the meetings, you know, so yeah, these issues are brought up. Now, are all of them? No, there's not all of them. Hopefully some of them your fundamentals go back to and take care of. But, yeah, the issues that are pointed out that I'm talking about, yeah, these have shown up, coach talked about. Now, is there challenging of coaches? Yeah. And the coaches should challenge me and players challenge me, and we go back and forth. So can it always be better? Can we really be on them even more and be on these details? Yes. Yes, without a doubt.
What do you work with Blake for on a specific hit?
You know what? I didn't know. I asked that. I didn't know if it was a sneak or a sack or what took place. I'm not sure of that right now.
Follow up on some of those sacks, free rushers. Were there communication issues?
Well, I think the very first one was a little bit. It was the same look that we had. They added an extra rusher. So that one, that was good by them. They did a nice job. After that, I think it was just more a guy missed a block or. You know, but that first one, they did a good job on it.
What's the diagnosis on the AC joint with Blake?
Well, here's what I would say. Don't be surprised if you don't see him out there on Wednesday, but don't be alarmed by that. I think it's, you know, if he could practice on Wednesday, it'd be a situation where we don't want him to be sore and affect his throwing mechanics. But, you know, I would anticipate that, and then we'll see. But we think it should be he should be okay.
So you're not sure. I mean, he won't practice Wednesday, and after that, you're not sure what that is.
What's that?
He won't practice. Probably won't practice.
I wouldn't be alarmed if he didn't practice Wednesday. Yeah, but I want.
You don't know after that.
Right now we think he should be in good shape.
Do you feel like Denard Robinson's making headway in recovering?
Yes, I thought he made really good improvement last week. So. He appears to be good. We'll see. You know, I think it's his, the angle that he's operating under. I think that's what we're looking at right now.
The Pierce play, blocking it.
Yeah.
How bad is that?
Yeah, it is. It's not a good play at all. I mean, when I saw it, I couldn't believe it. I know he's in the concussion protocol, and I know after the game, I think, you know, he had concussion symptoms. And so, you know, that's where I'll leave it at that. But the play itself, if you watched it, but, you know.
So he had the concussion before that play, if you were going to
know? I don't know. I imagine so.
That play explains what happened.
I'm sure. I mean, he's in the concussion protocol, so it's just unfortunate that he had those symptoms and that play happened, you know.
So isn't there the independent guy on the sideline that's supposed to
I don't know. I don't know when it occurred, how it occurred. I just know at the end of the game he had concussion.
So it was not a day for happy talk a lot, but arguably the most prolific day of Blake's career to this point. And even though there's some plays that still made fans cringe, you feel like overall he's cutting down those as a whole.
Yeah, he's making better decisions. I'll tell you what, he did. I give him a lot of credit for that. Still some errors, though. Calling a formation wrong in the huddle, you know, with a run play. We end up getting 9 yards, but, you know, those things he's got to correct. The interception. You know, the decision. We ran over a receiver. The defense didn't adjust to it. He went with his reads. He didn't come back, try to force a throw. You know, so there's some things he's got to clean up. But he's progressing. 4 touchdowns, 1 interception. His poise, I think his body language is very much improved. I think the team is feeling it. He's worked on that. I think, like I said, his poise, his staying true to the reads for the most part. I think it's rising. He is definitely getting better. Definitely getting better. But still, he's just like some of those other guys now. He's got one or two things that he has to take personal responsibility on.
Could you talk about, yesterday you sort of implied that Julius Thomas was sort of given his own decision-making responsibility on whether to go in the game.
Oh, no, I don't know. It was up to Julius. He wanted to go. It's more whenever we have an injury, the doctors, you know, clear him. So it was a thing where he went through a certain part of practice, and then he had to check with his doctor, and then through another set, and then, you know, it was like that all week. And at any time, there could have been a hiccup where he wasn't playing. And, you know, so that's where it was hard for the offense. Are we going to have him or not? And, Julius, whenever he told he was cleared on, he competed. You know, but it was more so waiting until the doctors cleared him.
Gus, you had a strong message in the locker room. It sounded like after the game yesterday. Obviously, you're still strong and doesn't sound too happy about what's been going on. You're going to get more animated, it sounds like, at practice. Are you concerned at all how these guys will react to maybe a different Gus than what they've seen?
Well, I think there's, you know, I think with this, you demand. You always demand. You demand precision. You demand attention to details. And, you know, that's part of competing. And that part, they should always feel that in me. Is it going to be stronger? Yeah, they might feel a little bit more in that context. Maybe I haven't been as strong or demonstrative on the field as I need to. Is that going to solve everything? I'm hoping they solve it. I'm really putting it on them. These conversations that we have, I want to shock them, like I said last night, for them to take personal responsibility. And I'm going to hold them accountable to that. And I'm going to watch them closely and make sure they take it upon themselves. This group now is special. They take personal responsibility. If they're not, we'll ensure that they do. And we'll hold them accountable to it.
How do you get more in the Leo spot? Clemens and Brad?
Yeah, I think Branch played, 16 plays and Clemens played 30. I'll tell you what, they did a nice job. They went heavy personnel more than anticipated. So they brought in an extra lineman and played at a tight end spot, and they did that with two backs and one back, which forced us in some ways to go to a heavier defensive personnel look. And that meant limited reps for Branch and limited reps for Clem. So, you know, we've got to find a way to apply pressure. There was, 19 passes? I think there were 6 that were max protection, 2 bootlegs, 3 screens. I think the longest the quarterback had in his hand was 2.5 seconds. So they definitely had a plan. They definitely had a plan to change some things up and definitely had a plan to run the ball. And I give them credit. They did a good job. Yeah. He did a nice game plan. You know, but I don't think it was any mystery. We knew that they were going to come in and run the ball. So I give them credit for that. But we didn't play like a team that is giving up or number whatever 4 or 5 in the league against the run. That team did not play like that yesterday. We had some things. We got moved off on some double teams. We didn't attack the line of scrimmage with our linebackers like we normally do, so it created vertical seams, and we weren't very good in open field tackling. So it comes back to give them credit, but it comes back to what we did as well.
People like Sedaric and Denard, Sample, those guys, any chance any of them coming back this week?
Well, it's, you know, probably day to day. You know, we'll see. You know, I've got your fingers crossed with Denard, and we'll see how Sample responds.
Gus, you brought up having to win close games. Can you do that with the defense is not getting sacks and creating turnovers like they are, like week in and week out?
Well, I think getting turnovers is obviously gives you a chance to score more points. Tampa Bay proved it, right? 3 of the drives, 3 touchdowns, and they were what, the 16 or 17, the 40, and the 40. So they had 3 sudden change type opportunities, and Tampa Bay scored touchdowns on all 3 of them. You know, that's how you can get 21 points fast and by field position. So that's why turnovers are so important for us as a defense game to give our offense a short field. So yeah, we've got to get more turnovers. The other areas, I think the defense, you know, against Carolina, played solid. I think against Indianapolis, did a good job. We did not play well versus New England. Miami, solid job. But this game was more disappointing because this is our strength. We are built to stop the run, and we didn't. That's what's disappointing more so than anything else.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Okay. Thank you.